it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We are here. It is game week, and Mark Grody is on it at Hallis Hall, where there was a lot of news. There were people that you haven't heard from in months that spoke on the record. Mark Grody joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Our first week one Bears hit of the season. Two words today. Two words for sure today. Groats, what do we know?
I got three letters for you. LFG is what it's all about out here. Yes, the doors to the 2025-2026 Bears season quite literally opened today as we were allowed into the Bears' very spacious, very plush locker room for the first time this year. Headlines: Braxton Jones will be your starting left tackle in week one against the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football coming up at Soldier Field. So he is the guy. You will hear from Braxton Jones, I promise, in this Bears report. Jalen Johnson was present in the locker room. He did tell us that he has a groin injury. He does not know at this moment if he will be able to play against Minnesota. That's where I will start. Here's what I'm going to do with Jalen Johnson. There are two cuts. I'm going to take you guys through the first two cuts, and then we will open it up for discussion like we always do. But let me play these two very important cuts from Jalen Johnson as the mass media of Chicago gathered around his locker, again, in the locker room. And here is Jalen on his status and his injury.
Jalen, are you playing?
I'm doing everything I can to play. I know I had a good workout this morning, so I'm feeling good. Probably the best I've felt all offseason. Training camp, per se, but just trying to do everything I can to be back.
What's the injury?
I had a growing injury over the offseason. I was doing some releases with some receivers and stuff like that, and honestly, I would say a freak accident. As far as the injury, same movement I made plenty of times, and just when I felt that I knew I was going to be out some time because the amount of pain that I had and just the feeling that I had, I knew I was going to be out. But I think for me, it was just like in that moment, just letting God work through me and around me in whatever way it looked like, whatever he was protecting me from or preparing me for, I was taking it head on. So, I mean, it's definitely been a journey, been frustrating going in the training room to the weight room, back to the training room for 6, 7, 8 weeks now. So, I mean, for me, it's just a mental test.
You had, I think, playfully taken some jabs about your contract. Some other guys have passed you up. So, just kind of, I think you were being playful. Maybe you weren't, but so none of this had you not practicing in training camp has nothing to do with the contract. Is that correct?
You know me better than that. I ain't never held out. I haven't ever done any of that. So, I mean, for me, for the media, it's a good play as far as the contract and the timing and things, but I'm not that type of cat.
All right, he likes our silly little reindeer games and the things that we like to talk about on Sports Talk Radio. Here's one more from Jalen before. I'm definitely looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say. But here is a key question to Jalen Johnson with a very interesting answer. He was asked, where do you think your conditioning is in terms of keeping up with game speed?
I like to say I can go out there and play, but, I mean, it's definitely hard to. I feel like if we had a game today, it wouldn't be a thing. But I think really this week will be important for me to get the pads back on, get practices under my belt, game speed, moving around, covering guys, communicating. I think that all will help me. But again, there's not too much you can replicate in the game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hmm. It's good stuff, Mark Grody. I think, Lawrence, I heard you say it off the mic, but that's a hell of a job by Grody to ask a very, very key question about the contract stuff just to get that clear.
Yeah, because there have been so many people that have been wondering about it, Groats, and it was him. Like, it wasn't – like, we weren't thinking that until he had we went back and he had made mention of it. And I agree with you, Groats, like, jokingly he had made mention of it. So I'm glad that you gave him an opportunity to clear that up.
Yeah, and honestly, like up until I asked that question, I didn't know. I didn't know if he was being playful. I didn't know if maybe there was something to him not practicing because of that. And part of it is, I think this is one of those times, and nobody from the Bears, nor Jalen Johnson, nor any player in that locker room had to be specific about any of the injuries. But I do think that if this is the groin injury that they're talking about and he has not been practicing, I think this is one of those cases where they could have and maybe even should have told us what was going on, that it was a groin injury and being a little bit more specific about it. And maybe Jalen didn't want to share. Maybe they didn't know the extent of it. But I feel like maybe this is one of those cases where they could have added a little bit more texture in order for us all to kind of be like, what the heck is going on with Jalen Johnson, who is, until further notice, guys, for my money, the Bears' best defensive player right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's accurate. It's interesting. You know, I love his, you know me better than that. I've never held out. And he didn't. They were able to come to a contract agreement because the communication was good. It's like, it's a tricky situation because Jalen has all the earmarks of one of those volatile, look at me, holdout corners. But he doesn't really have a history of being that guy in the public. He really doesn't. But we're so conditioned to think that he reminds us of one of those guys.
An archetype.
Yes, yes, yes. He reminds us of one of those as an archetype. But it's not really him. So it's fascinating. And then with the new regime in the coaches, I mean, this is a guy who got hurt on his own. We know from our conversations, Jalen's dad was a defensive back. Jalen's brother is a defensive back. He's got a full offseason plan that they all work on together.
And they're coaches.
Yeah, and they're coaches. So he hurts himself, quote, doing some releases with receivers on his own. But imagine being a new coaching staff and being like, what? Our star corner was working out on his own? You guys didn't know about this? Like, I understand why there's awkwardness surrounding it, Mark. Don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. Totally. I understood it, and I was one of those people who occasionally did speculating or not ruling things out. And unfortunately, because people want answers, it sort of forces us into that corner of doing such things. You know, Ben Johnson, too, and he talked about, you know, like in terms of, because people at this point want to know, is the guy going to play? Ben Johnson did say, I thought the key quote from him that I jotted down here for this report was, whenever a guy misses that amount of time, you have to be very cautious. Now, I have, even going back a couple of weeks ago, my stance has been, I'd be shocked if Jalen Johnson did not play. Today, I might back that up just a little bit because the entire tone of the conversation, obviously I just played you guys just a few minutes of, you know, a 7 or 8 minute conversation with Jalen Johnson. The entire tone of it, just to sum it up for people that were listening, Jalen Johnson was not out there, you know, in this interview saying, oh yeah, I'm playing. You can't stop me from being on that field. Justin Jefferson is playing. I will play. It wasn't like that. He has a very measured approach, which I think, generally speaking, is good. We've seen enough guys play hurt, whether in baseball, Kyle Tucker, or in football. And, you know, you don't need to try to be a hero. You want that guy out there, obviously, with what's coming at the Bears. But the approach from Jalen Johnson has been totally and completely measured.
Before we go away from that, because I think the point that you made about Justin Jefferson is really key. And I want to stay with that for a second.
Sure.
you couldn't pick a worse person for the Bears to start against with this particular injury to Jalen Johnson than Justin Jefferson. It's just, he's so good. He's so efficient with his steps. And this is the type of matchup that if you're a football fan and a Bears fan that you want to see. You want to see your all-pro corner go up against a guy that's really good and maybe the best receiver in the league.
Yeah, you do. But when Jalen says, if it was today, no. Then, I mean, that shows you how much work there is to do.
Yep.
And I'm a little...
You got 6 days.
I'm worried now. I mean, this was a topic where you tried to get me to move to Worrytown, and I was only, you know, I was stopping and getting gas in Concernville. I wasn't checking out property on Jalen Johnson, but...
Now you are?
Yeah, I'm a little worried now. I don't know if he's going to play.
Honestly, Spiegel, same with me. Same with me. You know, like, we all have information. I hear from sources, talk to people who give me ideas of what is going on, but... Honestly, yeah. After that conversation, he's walking around. He looks fine, but it is a groin injury for which he did say he has a lot of pain. So we could be looking at obviously a backup in that position when it all goes down.
Okay, so now let's talk about the other position of note, the left tackle spot. How did we get here, Groat?
Well, yeah, as people know, I mean, there's been a competition from the beginning, one in which you had Ozzie Trapillo, you had Braxton Jones, you had Karan Amagaji, you had Theo Benedet getting the late call to potentially compete. And I think that we all sort of figured out by process of elimination, it has to be Braxton Jones, even if he's not 100%. But here is the Bears head coach Ben Johnson on why Braxton Jones, the left tackle.
He knows what he's doing. Is it perfect every play? No, it's not. But we did see the execution go up over the course of the last few weeks. And so there is a trust level in him knowing what to do. And we think that he's going to continue to ascend the more reps that he gets.
He knows what he's doing. It's not great, but he knows what he's doing.
That did not sound like a full-throated endorsement right there.
It's honest, man. No, it's honest. That's why I want him to lose slower. I know you're going to lose. Just lose a little slower, would you, in pass pro? Unbelievable.
Yeah, we were Weedsy and I were talking about that, Dan Weeder and I, on the Take the North podcast, that, look, the good part is that one thing we know about this coaching staff, you're not going to get a ton of hyperbole. I'm sure we'll get some of that because it's just the nature of the business and the nature of guys wanting to talk about guys. But look, Ben Johnson has been very consistent throughout. That's the one thing that I have really – I don't like that the competition went the way it did, where you don't have a guy that you're just like, yeah, he is the dude. But the Bears have been pretty, very transparent about it and making it a real competition and now telling us that, yeah, he's the guy, but essentially it's because, you know, it's by default. Nobody came and grabbed it. He did say that he's executed better, so it's important to hear that from Ben Johnson as well. But this is not ideal going into the start of the season. Did have a good conversation with Braxton Jones in the locker room. And just to give a little texture to this, had a pretty candid conversation with Braxton Jones after the Buffalo game, which was the second to the last preseason game. And essentially, just summarizing what he told me that day was, you know, because I asked him, you know, what do you think about, you know, being challenged? And Ben Johnson and Dan Rochard are saying that nobody's grabbed this. And he's like, yeah, I get it. I understand where they're coming from. But also, basically, again, paraphrasing, he was telling me, understand where I am coming from, that I wasn't walking 9 weeks ago, that my ankle was fractured. So in other words, he's saying I am as up to speed as I possibly can be relative to that. So Braxton Jones, I took the mic up to him with other reporters and said, are you good to go?
I mean, you've been very honest with your recovery and the process that you've been through to get to where you are. Are you ready, full force, to be the starting left tackle?
I mean, I've been ready. There's just some things you personally you want to clean up, but I think the amount of reps and, you know, them priming me for this situation has been great. So I just think going forward, it's just cleaning each mistake up, and you're going to have those. This is the National Football League, but cleaning it up, being consistent, and being the driving force of that.
You mentioned how you have learned to kind of deal with the Chicago media or big market media in general. How different is it as you stand here right now on the first open locker room of this year relative to the first one you had?
I mean, obviously there's a lot more talk around it this year, obviously, at the left tackle position. So there's a lot of media on it, of course. But, I mean, I kind of take it the same. I'm going to be the same person regardless if that's, not going my way, going my way. Regardless of what it is, I'm going to, be the same and try and be as consistent as possible and be the same with you guys. So, I mean, obviously the first time doing this, it was not like this. But, now the opening of this season and the talk behind it, obviously it's going to be like this. But like I said, regardless of, how many of you guys there is, how many there isn't, I'm going to be the same. And I'm going to approach the game the same how I always have.
He's an impressive dude. He's always been an impressive dude since coming here as a fifth-round pick. It's like, and Matt Bowen called him a league-average starter on this show last hour or so. And that makes sense to me. He could have a very nice long career, make a lot of money his family and generations to come.
If he's just solid this year, he could make $100 million next year. I'm not kidding.
Some team will be like, "You guys started for 4 years.
Let's go. What happened with Charles Leno."
Yeah.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. If he makes it through the season, let's say he plays 15 out of 17 games, and the 15 games that he plays, it's okay. That's enough to have someone sign him for a big chunk of change over a 4 year or 5 year contract.
He's been doubted every year, and then he just keeps popping up as a left tackle. And I get what you're saying, like league average at left tackle. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's not terrible. You know what I'm saying? Like he has been a serviceable
league
left
average
tackle. I think people look at that speech and they say, yeah, he's upgradable. You know, you could upgrade that because he was a fifth round. I mean, you still get put into that fifth round sort of box that guys get put into. And I asked that question relative to his first year because when he was named the starting left tackle, you guys remember it, he got up in front of the media and said, yeah, guys, I couldn't believe it either that I was named the starting left tackle.
Hey, man, Charles Leno was a seventh round draft pick who retired after 9 years, could have played more, and earned $61 million in his career.
Trivia question. Who was supposed to be the starting left tackle in Charles Leno's place?
Ozzy Trapillo.
James Brown, Godfather of the Hold.
Think about it. I had a very good relationship with this man. His name is Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins.
Oh, that's right.
Was supposed to be that guy, and then he became a guard. How much things change.
Kind of like what they want to do with Karan Amagaji now. Like, let's make him a guard if he's going to be on the team.
Hey, it worked well. It worked very well for Tevin Jenkins.
It did.
Right?
It did. Groats, hang on, because you said you got more stuff, so we want to make sure that we give you enough time. Let's take a break. There's more from the Bears locker room that you need to hear as a Bears fan. Mark Grody has got a continued supersize Bears hit for you next here on The Score.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.